Hallelujah. All right. Again, we're really glad you are. Children are going to Children's Church, and hallelujah. Got a good word for you. Always, God always has a good word. If you got your Bibles, turn to Mark the 4th chapter. Amen. Mark the 4th chapter. Glory. When you've got it, stand with me, and we'll honor the author if you would like to do that with me, as is our custom to do. Mark the 4th chapter. Amen. Hallelujah. Some of you have your iPhones, and amen. I was at the wedding yesterday, and I had my flip top. I hate to bring it out, you know, and my brother-in-law, Mario, or brother-in-law, he finally gave in and got a phone. He said he loves it. So I'm gonna have to get in the 21st century, I guess. Amen. Yeah. So God is good. So if you got your iPhones, that's fine. Bring them out and use them. Amen. Let somebody know you're at Glad Tidings this morning, too. How would they do that? Selfies? Is that how they do that? Is that right, Tiggy? Okay. Praise God. Praise God. All right. 4th chapter of Mark. I know you all had a busy week, and I'll get it to you and then get out of your way and let God just take it and bless you with it. Amen? Is that okay? Verse 35, towards the end of chapter 4, verse 35 through 41. And the same day when the evening was come, he said unto them, this is Jesus said unto the disciples, let us pass over unto the other side. Let's go over to the other side. Somebody say with me, let's pass over to the other side. How many know God's got another side for us to go? We're on this side right now, but God has a better side. Amen. God has something better on the other side. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at somebody next to you. I just feel the Holy Ghost. Tell God's got something better for you on the other side. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If it's on the other side, if God said we're going over, then we're going over. I said if God said we're going over, we're going over. I'm going over to the other side. God said we're going over, and God who can't lie. But we had some problems getting over there. Anybody have any problems getting from one side to the other? Amen. Amen. It's been a tough week. Hang in here with me. Verse 36, and when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awakened him, and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, or they were filled with awe, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Amen. Amen. Let me read it in the Living Bible just for a moment. And the evening fell, and Jesus said to his disciples, verse 35, Let's cross to the other side of the lake. So they took him just as he was, and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a terrible storm arose. High waves began to break into the boat until it was nearly full of water and about to sink. Jesus was asleep at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. Frantically, they wakened him, shouting, Teacher, don't you even care that we are about to drown? And then he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Quiet down. And the wind fell, and there was a great calm. And he asked them, Why were you so fearful? Don't you even yet have confidence in me? And they were filled with awe and said among themselves, Who is this man that even the winds and the seas obey him? Amen. Jesus, we thank you. We pray right now that you'll take your word, break it before us. We thank you, Father, for speaking to our situations, to our lives. Speak a rhema, Father, a personal word to us that we can take with us today. Make this the best time of their week, the greatest investment of this beginning of the week, Sunday, the first day of the week. Father, I thank you for rewarding them, for seeking you, diligently seeking you. I thank you for it now, and I'll give you the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated in his presence. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Well, the boat was taking water, and it was about to sink. Yeah, we can identify with some of that in our day and age. Anybody's boat ever taken on some water? Huh? I remember fishing with my brother-in-law. We were out in a little boat when he was out here doing our youth with us, helping us. And he's a Texas boy. And so We were in the lake there, Lake Elizabeth, and we were in this little boat, and, well, the little boat had a big leak. And I got a little cup, and we're trying to bail and get to the shoreline. So I understand a little bit what the boys here were feeling, you know, of the water coming in the boat, because it was getting higher and higher, but we made it. Amen. I was in a quiet time this last week there with the Lord, and I opened the Word, and I was asking the Lord about a situation, why, and what was going on, and what to do, and I mean, it was a good thing to get before the Lord and just get quiet and talk to the Lord. Amen. Let the Lord talk to you. And so I was just, you know, kind of laying it before Him, and the Lord had me turn to this passage of Scripture, and I thought, okay, that's interesting. And then I heard the Bishop Jakes, came on. I think it was a couple of days later. I heard his voice come on. He was on one of his programs that he does weekly. And he began to say this. He said, sometimes God puts you in chaos with an expectation that you can handle it. Well, that got my attention because he was preaching out of this scripture about the boat taking water and going over to the other side. And I thought, boy, it seems not like just the boat. It seems like the whole ship is taking water in our nation, does it not? Seems like the whole world is taking water. My God, we've never seen things like we're seeing today. Amen. And so he said, sometimes God, and he said, he has an expectation that you can handle it. And the message was entitled, Divine Expectations. How many know God has some expectations for us? How many of you have expectations for others? You expect certain things. Amen. If you expect nothing, you get nothing. Amen. Expectations are good. Amen. And so I thought, do you really think that when Jesus got in the boat with the disciples and went down into the bottom of the back of the boat and fell asleep, do you think that the omnipotent, all-knowing God didn't have a forecast of the weather? If he knows everything, and he does, he's omnipotent. He was God, all man and all God, so he knew. He knew where the donkey was he needed to ride into Jerusalem. He knew where the house was, the upper room that he was going to have the Last Supper. He knew where Zacchaeus was up in the tree. How many know we serve an omnipotent God? He knows everything. Hallelujah. He knew you were going to be here this morning. He knew he had a word for you. Amen. He knew where you were last week. He knew he was going to bring you through the storm. He knew he was going to get you through. We pray for those people that lost their cars. What, 30 cars caught on fire? My, that was sure not a shower of blessing. So we asked God to turn that into a blessing for them somehow. Amen. We had a daughter that someone close to her ran her car up a tree, but God turned that into a blessing and gave her a new car out of it. God can take anything and make a blessing out of it. Amen. And so we rejoice in that. But the omnipotent God, yeah, he knew the weather forecast. I think he would say I wouldn't have gone to sleep if I'd have known there was going to be a storm. Amen. I hate to let you boys down. I would have stayed awake if I'd have known this was going to happen. I don't think he said that. I don't think he'd say that. Of course he knows there was going to be a storm. Why does Jesus? But I got a question. And a question that he asked, and I thought, this is a good one. Why does Jesus go to sleep in the storms? Why does Jesus go to sleep in the storms? Has anybody ever felt like Jesus went to sleep in your storm? Come on, talk to me, somebody. Are we going to be real here? Or are we going to kind of play Christianette this morning? Yeah. Why does Jesus seem to go to sleep in the storms? He knows there's going to what's going to happen, and he goes to sleep. Why does Jesus go to sleep when he knows we're in the middle of chaos and not do anything? Why does he do that? What's the answer to that? Well, the answer came is that he knew and knows you can handle it. That's a new thought. Look at somebody next to you and say, you can handle it. He knows you can handle it. I said, he knows you can handle it. He knows I can handle it. I don't know about you, but I'd rather have him handle it. Anybody rather have them handle it? I'd rather have you do it. No, you do it. No, you do it. Nah, you do it. He knows you can handle it. And I'll prove it to you. He went to sleep in the storm when the storm broke out. Peter tripped out. Why did Pete trip out in the middle of the storm? It made no sense. Peter was an experienced sailor, fisherman. He owned a fishing fleet. He had boats all over the place. He'd been in the storms before, and it isn't funny how you can survive things over and over again and then be confronted with something new and just trip out. Come on. And just get to the place where you can't handle it anymore. Peter, he just fell apart. And I mean, know when people fall apart, they blame everybody else. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's not hard to fall apart these days. And it's not hard to blame everybody else. Amen. He went there. Peter went there and blamed Jesus. Now, what did Jesus have to do with it? He was asleep. What did Jesus do? He said to him, he said, Peter says, canst, carest thou not that we perish? Don't you even care we're about to drown? You ever felt that way? Be honest. God, are you really listening? Are you there? Man, don't you see what I'm going through? And how many know that when we do that, though, and Pete's problem was, you know, God was saying to Pete, he said, the problem is up there and you're tripping down here. Amen? Now, you may have, and at that point, he questioned Christ's integrity. Don't you care over the situation? Have you ever been in a situation where you question God's integrity over your situation? Don't you care that we're about to perish? How can you sleep at a time like this? Come on, Jesus. So Jesus wakes up, wiping sleep out of his eyes, and says, peace be still, or quiet, be quiet, to the storm. But there's something else that he said before that, or right after. He says, oh, ye of little faith. And so he rebukes Peter for waking him up. He said, why did you wake me up with this? Why are you tripping over this? You can handle this. I believe, to be honest, if you whether it's my life or your life, I believe there's a lot of things we could handle if we would. But we kind of have a culture and mentality that somebody else has got to handle this for me. But how many know you and Jesus can handle anything? And he's in you, and he has confidence in you that you can handle life because he, the overcomer, is in you, and you have the power in your words. How many know words are hooked to emotions? What you say is powerful. And if you don't say it, and you don't speak it, and you don't talk to that storm, and you don't talk to them waves, they're going to get higher and higher, and the water's going to get deeper and deeper until you do something that you have the power to do, and that is to take the authority of the name of Jesus, take the blood of Jesus, and begin to speak in the face of that fierce wind, those things that are just unbelievable, about to put you down. I mean, if something doesn't happen, we're lost. We're going to sink. We're already taking water. I'm talking to little boats that are taking water. We have a whole church universal that's taking water. Taking water. Woo! And Jesus is sleeping. Come on. You know what that tells me? That tells me that you are something in God. You got a power. There's power. I was listening to a song. We're coming in. Power in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We need to speak to it and then expect to watch God and what God will do in that situation. And keep speaking to it. Amen. Because the devil's going to keep talking to you. He's going to keep messing with you until, if he can, put you down. Because he's after taking you out. I said he's after taking you completely out. And if we give him a little bit, he has a way to take a lot. You give him an inch, and he takes a mile. We've all found that out, haven't we? It's better to get him, catch his foot in the door. Jam that foot with the word of God. Jam that toe. Step on that foot. Step on his toes. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hit him in the head with the word before or while he's hitting you in the head. Glory to God. Hallelujah. There's times I've sat there and let him keep hitting me. Bam, 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 until I'm kind of in a fog and kind of sitting there kind of dazed. And have you ever been there? Sitting there just not saying anything. And somebody say, man, you sure are quiet. Well, man, I keep getting bombarded. Yeah, have you been bombarded? My God. And sometimes I forget in the bombardment. It just keeps coming and coming and coming. Sometimes I forget. Hey, I know what God inhabits the praises of his people. I got to start giving God a praise. I don't feel like it. My arms are heavy. Hell is raging all around. The waves are really going. But God said, in the middle of that, I inhabit your praises. Give me something to work with. Give me something besides your confession of your sickness, besides your confession of what you can do. Start telling me. Start speaking what you can do. Woo. My God. Hallelujah. Man, I tell you, if it wasn't God helping us, I wouldn't be in the pulpit 1 week. Come on. You wouldn't be in your job 1 day. Because a lot of times you'll get up thinking, oh, God. Instead of saying, praise God for this day, you say, oh, another day. Yeah. We got to speak to these things. He rebuked Peter for waking me. He says, why'd you wake me with this? You could have handled this. What is it that we don't good about ourselves, that we get into storms and lose all confidence in ourselves and not recognize that we're in a storm, or you're in a storm and I'm in a storm that we can't handle, and you don't have to wake up everybody and freak out to handle the situation, that what you need to get through, what you're going through, is not around you, it's in you. Hey, it's not around you, it's in you. Yeah, the storm and the winds, but it's really within. Amen. Let that sink in. What you need to survive the situation is not around you. It's in you. I said it's in you. God may use the doctors. He may use whatever he's using to help you, but the solution is in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Woo, we need the glory of God. I said we need the glory of God. Christ in us is the glory. God, we're in some battles. Is there some battles going on? Is there some fierce warfare happening in this day and age? My God. If we don't watch out, we could get ourselves in a place where we could get real negative and almost give up if we're not careful because of the forces coming against. Amen. But thank God. I heard Jim Baker say years ago when he had his TV program, they even had a little song, him and Tammy, that said, run to the roar, run to the roar. And that's followed me all these years. And so when I get afraid and I'm thinking, I'm not sure I want to go there. Amen. I'm not sure. Amen. God, I just hear the Lord say, Holy Spirit say, run to the roar. Run to it. Don't run away from it. Run to it. It's amazing when you run to the giants, what God does with the giant. David ran to him. I don't know about you, but an 8-9 foot giant. I may know we face some 8 or 9 foot giants in our time, in our lives. Mountains we can't get over. Situations that trying to get over on us. Amen. I'm not talking about just little things. I'm talking about long-term things. Yeah. Things that you want to remind the judge about that can't appease. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's not around you. It's in you. Amen. Studying what's in us. It's shocking at the people that you know. They know something about everybody, but they don't know anything about themselves. Huh? People 40, 50, 60 years old and still don't know themselves. How can you live 50 years and not study you? Come on. You know, we can forgive not studying trigonometry, but not to study you, not to study me. Yeah, you still don't know you. How do you expect me to know you when you don't know you? Huh? You still don't know you. Amen. How can I understand what you can't explain? How can you live with you every day and you haven't examined yourself? Because if you examine yourself, you will find out what is in you. Amen. I'm finding and found things in me I had no clue were there. I didn't know I could take some of the things and pressures I've been able to take over the years. I didn't think I could take any of that. Amen. I've been through and have stood in. Chaos taught me what was in me. Trouble taught me what was in me. Denial taught what was in me. Rejection taught me what was in me. Hard times taught me what was in me. I didn't know I could stand up by myself, encourage myself, lift up my own head, straighten my shoulders, and ride the wave. Glory to God. I can ride the wave. I can't surf. But I surf in the Spirit, praise God. I surf, I ride with the Word, amen. Glory to God. I panicked about things that I could have controlled, amen. If I'd only known what was in me, calling people for wisdom that was weaker than mine, the wisdom I had inside of me, amen. I like what he said. He said, confess you've done some stupid stuff. I know you've never done that, but some of us have done some stupid stuff. Amen. Yeah, I remember a few things. But it's about what's in you, Christ in you. The Creator is the only one who knows what is fully in you. Amen? Search your heart, knows your thoughts, knows the thought you're getting ready to have, to think. So you know if he knows the thoughts you're getting ready to have, then you know he knows the thought you're thinking. That's scary. You don't even know the thought you're getting ready to think. Amen? Okay. The Bible says the word of the Lord is quick. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting asunder of bone from marrow, soul and spirit. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. God not only knows what you did, he knows what you meant to do. I'm so glad he looks on the heart, not the outward. Aren't you? He knows the intentions of the heart. God says, I know what you meant. That's why God doesn't want anybody, nobody else to judge you. Because people will judge what you did. But God knows your heart, and he knows what you meant to do. I said he knows what you meant to do. Whew. He knows what you were trying to do, even if you blew it. Come on. Whew, I'm glad I serve a God like that. I would much rather be in the hands of God. David chose that too, under three things that he could have, you know, things that were going on. He said, I'll choose God. I'll put my life in his hands. I'd rather choose God than put myself in the hands of people. You know why? Because people are the most vicious, condemning, hateful, obnoxious, self-righteous things in the world. Have you found that to be true? They will judge you in a heartbeat. I said they'll judge you in a minute. You know, it's a funny thing about human nature. We judge ourselves by what we meant to do, but we judge you by what you did. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. I judge you by what you said, but I want you to judge me by what I meant to say. That's human nature. Genesis says, God breathed into man and he became a living soul. I want to talk about your body, your soul and spirit just for a second. Your body gives you world consciousness. Somebody say world consciousness. Yeah, it appeals to your senses, to your touch, to taste, to sight. Amen. All of that embraces your body senses so that you can have senses that keep you in touch with the world. Amen. World consciousness. Your body keeps you in touch with the world. In your body, you have world consciousness. In your spirit, you have God consciousness. Are you still there? For God is a spirit, the Bible says, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Amen. So in your spirit, you have God consciousness. You embrace God in your spirit. You know him in your spirit. You may express it in your body, but you know him in your spirit. And you can feel him in your spirit. You know when he's in the room. You know when his presence is there. Man, the wedding started yesterday with my oldest grandson and his fiance. And man, when she came through the door, and we're all there, you know, the bridegroom was waiting for my grandson, the Spirit of God just began to fill that whole place. I felt the presence of God. And I may know the presence of God can mess you up. Because I never had so much problem remembering the bride's name. And I think I was trying to figure it out because my grandson's name is Devin, right? And her name, the bride's name, was Ashley. And I wanted to keep calling her Devin and Raylene. I had a fight going on through that whole wedding. I had to find a paper to see what her name was. Man, that presence of God messed me up. I'm going to blame it on God. Amen. I did get through the wedding. I don't think anybody really noticed. Amen. You have a way of, you know, when you've done it, you can kind of cover. Amen. I never did say Raylene, but I thought it. I said, her name's not Raylene. What's her name? What's the girl's name? Brain freeze. God. Jesus. You never had that happen to you, I'm sure. The most embarrassing time was when I pronounced them Mr. and Mrs. and I used her maiden name. We all have experiences, don't we? I told you mine. Now let's hear yours. We got world consciousness. Amen. We've got spirit consciousness. In your spirit, you've got God consciousness. Amen. And you know when he's there. You know God. So in your body, you have world consciousness. In your spirit, you've got God consciousness. And in your soul, your psyche, you have self-consciousness. Are you there? Just a few moments, a few thoughts on our soul. That's psychic. You have self-consciousness. He became aware of himself. Your mind, your memory, your affection, your appetites, all of that is locked up in your soul. And that's the biggest battleground, incidentally, is the soul realm. Amen. That's where the war is, in your soulish man and woman, in your mind, in your emotions, with your memory. You could handle all of this outside stuff if it didn't get on the inside. Come on. You could handle it if it stayed on the outside. But when it gets on the inside, we got problems. Mm-hmm. Ships don't sink because they're in the water. They only sink when the water gets in them. Huh? And I may know sometimes our ships are taking on some water from time to time. And the intent of that is for the enemy to sink your boat. It's no row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. It's, I'm going to sink your boat merrily, merrily. You ain't going to have no dream. Huh? Are we making this real enough? So ships don't sink because they're in the water. They only sink when the water gets in them. Is the water getting in your boat? I always tell the married couple when I release them the final charge, I say, okay, I always tell the bride, now you're jumping in his boat. Amen. You're heading out to the high seas. We can see the whole shoreline is strewn with marital storms that have gone on and little boats shipwrecked all on shore. But as you head out, there's a lighthouse, praise God. I said there's a lighthouse. And I may know no ship ever sunk that Jesus was in. Hey, so don't abandon ship. I said don't abandon ship and keep Jesus in the boat. Glory. Hallelujah. That's it. That's it. And so we got this soul area that we're dealing with. Amen. We got this water situation. And one of the first things to do when you step into a chaotic situation is to walk up to a person and ask them, how do you feel about it? How do you feel about that? Uh-huh. Because it doesn't matter what's going on around you as long as it doesn't get in you. One of the first things we got to ask. Because if what's going on around you gets in you, I mean, oh, now we're in trouble. If it gets in you, we're in trouble. Maybe going on around you, but if it don't get in you, have you ever been in a situation where everybody and everything is falling apart and you were just good? Huh? Doesn't that drive people crazy? We're not trying to drive them crazy. God has just given us a piece about it. You know why? Because you were sealed up. There were no gaps, no leaks, and you knew it was a bad situation, but somehow it just didn't affect you. I may know you, not everything has to affect you. You must affect it. Don't let it infect you. The enemy is constantly trying to affect us. Got his little shot trying to shoot stuff in us. Anybody here know what I'm talking about? Before you wake up in the morning, he'll give you a shot. You got to take your antidote. I said you got to take your antidote because it's poison. What he's trying to do is poison you, poison your day, poison your life. But we've got an antidote, praise God, the word of God. And so we can tell those that just God gives you grace to go there, you're sealed up. There's no leaks. It's a bad situation, but it just doesn't affect you. You're not falling apart. You're not panicking. You are sealed up. The Bible says when Noah built the ark, it was pitched within and without. That means that Noah put a covering on the inside and a covering on the outside, a double layer, so the ship could pass through the water without the water passing through it. What does the pitch represent? The mortar? It like bricks. It represents the word of God within and without. You can't speak the word without unless you got it within. You don't have it within, you ain't going to be speaking anything coming out that is anything God can work with. Come on. I'm talking to real life situations. The less word I put in, the more comes out that doesn't help me one bit. Amen. Matter of fact, the enemy grabs on it and just continues to pour more water. Huh? Is that making sense? He pitched it within and out. You need to be pitched within and without so you can pass through the things without them passing through you. The pitch and the mortar represent the word. It says, peace be still. When you're pitched it within and without, God gives you grace to go through. It's amazing, amazing what you can handle and what you can go through.
Amen.
I've been through things I didn't have the grace I didn't think to go through. And whatever it was I was going through, didn't have it 20 minutes before. I didn't have it 20 minutes, but in the time of need, it was there. Amen. I was pitched within, pitched without. Amen. Sometimes you don't have time to get ready. Something will hit you so quick. You got to have the pitch within, without. Because if you start taking on water immediately, you're in trouble. And we can start bailing as fast as we can, but you've got to take responsibility. You've got to understand the battle you're in. You've got to understand the enemy we're dealing with. He's not playing fair. And if you don't meet him with your spiritual weapons, it's going to be a tough time. It's going to be rough. And you're going to go through things you don't have to go through. You're going to have to go into things and go through things that you shouldn't have to go through. We go through enough that we have to go through. I don't want to go through anything I don't have to go through. Good God, man, there's enough to go through without making it worse for myself, without not doing what I know God wants me to do in this situation. Nobody wants me to speak the word. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Devil, I know you. He said no weapon formed. It's formed. He didn't say there would never be a weapon formed against you. He said when he forms it, it will not prosper. So I got to believe the word. I got to speak that. Devil, this weapon you formed against me today, it will not prosper. I may have to sit down. I may have to take a rest. I may have to kind of take it easy. But I want to tell you, devil, I'll be back up. You will see me again. And that devil hates that. Said, man, I did everything I could to put her down, and here she's back again. God, I did everything to keep them out of church, and here they are again. Good God, what do I got to do? How much pressure do I got to put on them? But there's something in us that will not take no for an answer. I'm going to get my blessing. I have come too far by faith. I fought too many battles. I've been through too many wars. I've suffered too many things. I've endured too many indignities. I've heard too many negative things. My time is just coming. This is my time. This is the church's time. This is our hour. This is our finest hour. It's time for the church to rise up and be the church. If she's ever going to rise up, now is the time. And I'm telling you, I'm not the laying down type. I could lay down. Sometimes I lay down in the natural because I need to. Amen. But in the spirit, no. The only laying down I do is he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. That's where I lie down. He leadeth me beside still waters. You want me to lie down, devil? I'll lie down by some green pastures. How many know God's got green pastures for us? I see God doing more and more for his people. I see God working in our lives and blessing us and helping us and breaking us out of, you know, this little circle that is more like a cell. God's getting us out, praise God. Hallelujah. Sometimes you get out and you're so happy you start running wild. You know, the Lord says, okay, come on. Able to go through things. Amen. Sealed up, tight, not have it go through me. I say not have it go through me. Not have it go through me. Tell your neighbor, God's got you covered. God's got you covered. Say, God's got you covered. Woo! God, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Father, sometimes I'm exposed, but I thank you that you come and cover me. Amen. Cover me with your love. Cover me, Lord. Thank you. So we speak to the storm today. Peace be still. Quiet down. Amen. Divine expectations. I love divine expectations. You can handle this. You can handle this. He will show us just what to do. Amen. So I speak to those storms. I speak to your storms. It's pretty stormy out there sometimes, but God is with us. He's in the boat. You can handle it. You can handle more than you think you can. Hallelujah. And God's got more for you than you think he has. And you're going to go further than you think you can go. You're going to do more than you thought you could do. You're going to have more than you thought you could have. Are you hearing me? God is a God. We're speaking. Prosper. Amen. Be healed. Be blessed. Woo, that word, it's the word is healing. The word is medicine. The word is medicine. Sometimes we need to take a little bit more medicine, the right kind. Amen? God's got you covered. Praise God. Well, that's all I got. I hope that blessed you. Amen. Give God a praise offering if you like. And play that for me, will you? And we'll close with a good song. And come on, let's stand in his presence. And I don't know what storms are swirling around you. I don't know what water you may have been coming in your boat, but I know Jesus is here today. Yeah, he's here. I'm going to open up the altars if there's something you'd like to bring before the Lord, some area that you need God to surround, some place you need him to fill with his presence, some place where freedom is really needed today. And I want you to come, step out of your place, come before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm trusting you to surround me, to let your grace and your mercy fall in that place, your presence to fill that place. This place where I need freedom. Let your presence, as they play that song again. Father, people are coming. They have areas. Freedom reigns. Let freedom reign in these places. Freedom reigns. Surround us. Surround us, Lord, with your love. Surround us. Surround us with your presence. Lord, I thank you and I praise you. I thank you for what you're doing. Come on, deaconess. That's the key. The spirit of the Lord is, doctor, would you come? I feel the presence of God in this place. Woo, shikiyadabos. Come, we're going to start right here. My God, my God, my God, my God. I love you. Have a wonderful day. Thank you for coming. God bless you.